Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, thank you, thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It's always our delight to have you join us on Let's Face the Issues. We look forward to this opportunity each day to have you to join in the dialogue and discussion. And let's not forget it. Let me remind you that telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. That telephone call gets you directly through to the studios, right to our microphone so that we can entertain your question, comment, and you're joining in the dialogue and discussion with us today. We're going to be talking about today securing our foundations, securing our foundation. We're talking about the foundation on which our nation is built upon, and the securing of our foundation is only done by our voting. We the people have the right, the responsibility, and yes, the mandate to vote and to be involved in the process to assure us the future of America as being a constitutional republic and not a dictatorship, thug-led, Marxist, socialist, communist nation. And that's where we're headed, lest we, the people, vote. We've got about 90 days before we, the people, have the opportunity to secure the foundation of our nation and continue the direction that God has blessed us in for all of these years. Ladies and gentlemen, as we face the issues, let me remind you, we do so based on the authority of Scripture. Truth. Jesus said in John 8:31-32, as he spoke to his disciples, he said, "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." And then Jesus said in John 14:6, "I am truth." And then to further elaborate on that, as I like to call it in teaching the word of God, Jesus himself said in John 17:17, "Thy word is truth." And so, ladies and gentlemen, we should be a truth seeker as Christians today in particular. It was George Orwell many years ago that said the further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. And I found that to be absolutely true. And if you stand for truth and you defend the truth, you have found no less than that. In fact, if you don't believe that statement by Orwell, all you need to do is look at Nancy Pelosi and AOC and Chuck Schumer and the squad in Washington and understand they reject the truth out of hand. They are not interested in truth at all. But it's the 15th century theologian and church reformer Jan Hus that made a statement that I have had the privilege of looking at, analyzing, and being blessed by for so many years. He said, "Faithful Christians, seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth, even to death." And ladies and gentlemen, I suggest that to each of our listeners today. As we look at the Word of God, understand that the Bible is not just a book that occasionally has truth. It is the source book of all truth. It is the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God that should be the roadmap for our lives and the lamp for our living as we serve the Lord each and every day. As I've said before and so often on this broadcast, God gave us three institutions. That is the home and government and the church, and in that order. And when you look at anything that deals with any of those three institutional categories, it is a central Biblicist theme. And therefore, from a central Biblicist viewpoint, we need to recognize what God would have us to do in defending the liberties that God has given us. And for 244 years, we have been blessed by having those liberties and freedoms in the United States of America. And it's only as a result of the major blessing of God that America exists today. Ladies and gentlemen, let me remind you that this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of equipment for homeowners with brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time also carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment with the Honda generators. And ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time has a full staff of a knowledgeable team of being able to answer all of your questions about power equipment for landscape and lawn care, as well as the backup equipment for hurricane season. Let me remind you, Tools for Time is located at 11291, that is, Old St. Augustine Road, 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. Some have asked the question, where is that located? It's right at the intersection of I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road. Find the gigantic 165-foot flagpole with Old Glory flying 24/7. At the base of that flagpole, you'll find the home of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com. ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, let me remind you, our subject today, the issue we're talking about, very simply put, is voting. Voting, securing our foundations. It is by way of voting, ladies and gentlemen, we have that privilege to do so. It is a very, very serious thing for us to understand and realize that in the next 90-plus days, we the people will have the opportunity to make a decision on not only our presidential election, but many in our city and state and across the nation that will be running for office. And we have the responsibility and the challenge to vote and to vote right. Ladies and gentlemen, I submit to us today that this election cycle, listen carefully, this election cycle will be the most consequential election of the history of the United States of America. Now, you can challenge that. You can disagree with that. That's your prerogative, your privilege. But I believe it'd be the most consequential election. Now, second to that is the election we had in 2016, where I believe, ladies and gentlemen, it was God's divine intervention that put Donald J. Trump in the office of president of the United States. Oh, don't give me that stuff. There are a lot of folks say, well, look at some of his vocabulary, look at some of the words that he uses, et cetera, et cetera. When we vote for a president, ladies and gentlemen, we're not voting for Jesus. We're voting for a political leader that will honor God in honoring our Constitution, and especially looking at our Bill of Rights and allowing us the religious liberties and the freedoms that otherwise others would not give us. Across America today, we're faced with the ravaging of our nation, with the anarchist on every hand, the anarchist with the intent of overthrowing our constitutional republic and our representative form of government. Ladies and gentlemen, Black Lives Matter, regardless of what you think or say, and multitudes of pastors, both white and black, have taken the position because it says Black Lives Matter, that we've got to take a stand on that as a spiritual issue, and that is the farthest thing from the intent of Black Lives Matter. Black Lives Matter has nothing to do with the pigmentation of skin. It is a socialist Marxist organization founded by hundreds, funded by hundreds of millions of dollars that goes into the coffers. In fact, since March of this year, Black Lives Matter have brought in about $450 million, with about $100 million of that, ladies and gentlemen, coming from none other than George Soros, with the goal of overthrowing the fundamental foundation of America. The three founders, in fact, of Black Lives Matter brag about being highly trained Marxists. And one of them even went on to say in an interview with CNN that their focus and goal is to remove President Donald J. Trump from office either before the election or in the election to prevent him from being reelected. Ladies and gentlemen, if that's not clear as to what's taking place, nothing is. Ladies and gentlemen, they want to remove President Donald J. Trump because of his stand on our Constitution and because of our having our Bill of Rights that's still being honored through this presidency. But ladies and gentlemen, we also face the COVID-19, a deadly virus. Yes, it is. It's deadly. But ladies and gentlemen, I have researched it too much. I probably have 1,000 articles on the subject in my archives of research material and documents. COVID-19, or as President Trump calls it, the China virus, the Wuhan virus, and he's exactly right, because it was put upon us by China, and yet we have the socialist, Marxist, leftist, and the communist network news that will talk about it as being something that other than being put upon the world by China, but that's true. But it's been weaponized, ladies and gentlemen. You can look at the number of deaths from pneumonia and from the annual flu, 2017, 2018, 2019, and so far in 2020. And it's about the same percentage of mortality rate as we're finding with COVID-19. COVID-19, or the China virus, is the first virus in the history of the United States of America where we have sequestered people, we've quarantined people, we've shut down the economy, shut down the churches, and violated constitutional liberties on every hand in doing so. And it's been weaponized, ladies and gentlemen, by the socialist Marxist BLM Democrats to prevent President Trump from being reelected. Now, you can argue and debate it any way you want it, cut it and slice it and dice it any way you'd like to, but that's the bottom line as to what we see taking place today. Ladies and gentlemen, we find mayors and governors, primarily in the blue cities and blue states across America, that simply are reveling in what is taking place. In fact, there's some that even reject the fact of these riots and the thuggery that's taking place with the violence and the vandalism and the burglaries and the thefts and the arson that's taking place, where it's costing us hundreds of millions of dollars in the future for those cities and those businesses to be replaced. In fact, Jerry Nadler refuses to believe that Antifa is doing anything wrong. Here's a recent article where Nadler was interviewed, and Antifa violence in Portland, Oregon is a myth, says Jerry Nadler. Democrat Jerry Nadler of New York said, Antifa violence in Portland, Oregon is simply a myth that's being perpetrated on YouTube and published on other venues, but it's not true. He's simply refusing to believe it. In other words, you just bury your head in the sand and play an ostrich and say that it's not happening, and it's not happening at all. But ladies and gentlemen, this is unconstitutional to see what's happening in America with some of the things that's taking place. It's illegal, unconstitutional. Executive orders that have resulted in the shutting down of our nation's economy and the economic engine, the shutting down of churches across America, and the continuing to prevent worship from taking place. Ladies and gentlemen, there are still thousands of churches that are closed at the fiat orders of these wannabe dictator mayors and governors across the nation. Here's an article, and I'll read it briefly because we have an interview that we're going to do in just a moment. But it says, John MacArthur issues a stark reminder to the church. Christ, not Caesar, is head of the church. Now, John and I have some very, very major, serious theological doctrinal differences, but he's exactly right on taking the position that he's taking. His church happens to be in California, and they're still wanting the churches to remain closed, and he's refusing to do so. It's an elongated article. I'll not read it, but simply put, John MacArthur is saying that we're not going to close. We're going to continue to honor Christ and not Caesar. And John MacArthur's church has been threatened now by Governor Newsom. They say they're going to shut the power off in his church if he continues to operate and minister. He says, and I'll give you this brief quote, Christ is Lord of all, wrote MacArthur, the pastor of Grace Community Church in San Fernando Valley. As his people, we are subject to his will and his command as revealed in his scripture. Therefore, we cannot and will not acquiesce to a government-imposed moratorium on our weekly congregational worship or other regular corporate gatherings in our church. I commend him for that. And I've said for months and months and months, and it's time that pastors across America grow a spine, come out of the closet, get out from under the bed, and lead your people in corporate worship, and stop this voodoo worship, where you're going to go online and say that's the same as worship in the house of God. Ladies and gentlemen, weddings have been canceled. Funerals have been banned. Pastors arrested. And may I remind us, even recently, as recent as last week, Governor Newsom of California banned in-home Bible studies. He said no longer could you even have worship services or Bible studies in the home. And the fiat order that he gave covered 32 counties, which is equivalent to about 80% of the churches in the state of California. And ladies and gentlemen, this is forced today. Other things we're seeing, that's the forced, I believe, unconstitutional, illegal demand that citizens, healthy or otherwise, that you must wear a mask. Now, ladies and gentlemen, let me tuck this in. Time won't allow us to elaborate on it today, but we have several times before. If they can force you to wear a mask, when the vaccine comes down the line, you watch what I'm telling you, there will be a forced edict by the governments across America, by the governors across our nation, that will force every citizen to submit to a forced vaccination, whether you want the vaccination or not. Today, as never before, ladies and gentlemen, in my lifetime, we must pray, we must seek God's face, we must confess our sins, turn from our wicked ways, and ask God to heal our land. That is needful, that's necessary, and that is the only way we can secure the foundation of our nation is through prayer and through voting, which is our constitutional right and remedy to what we see happening. We are, ladies and gentlemen, we are the ones that ought to remedy the problem, and we do so by voting. We must vote if we're going to secure our foundation and our Constitution. We must evaluate our candidates, ladies and gentlemen. We must look at each candidate's qualifications as well as their view of our Constitution and especially our Bill of Rights. Our candidates need to take the stand. Bill de Blasio, for example, in New York City, is an out-and-out, total in-your-face, socialist, Marxist, communist, and he's recently been caught several times quoting right from the Communist Manifesto, and so accustomed to that that he doesn't even realize that what he is doing is quoting from Karl Marx and others in the Communist Manifesto. May I remind us, ladies and gentlemen, right here in Jacksonville, I believe I'm correct on the date, the primary election is going to be on August the 18th, and our general election on November the 3rd. But the Bible is very, very clear, ladies and gentlemen, in Psalms 11:3, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? What I'm saying today, ladies and gentlemen, is urgent to be understood, is that for the Christian, for the church, for the child of God, we need to recognize that the grasp of the future of America is in our hands at the election and the voting booths in our primary election and our general election. Ladies and gentlemen, one of our candidates running for office, the Republican State Committee woman representative, running for the state of Florida, is Ginger Saud. We are privileged today, ladies and gentlemen, to have Ginger with us on Let's Face the Issues today. Ginger, a former president of the Jacksonville City Council. Ginger, thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule to be with us and talk about your campaign on Let's Face the Issues today. Welcome to the broadcast.
Good morning, Dr. Youngblood. It's my honor to be on your program, and I'm very thankful for the opportunity to do so. So thank you so much.
It is our blessing. We've known each other for less than 100 years. I'm not going to say how many, but I am thankful that we have this privilege to talk about your candidacy for the Republican State Committee woman. And I want you to take a moment, if you would, Ginger, just take a few minutes to tell our listeners. There are a lot of folks that may not recognize that position, what it's about, what it's for, and the seriousness of that office and the need for it. So take the first few moments, if you would, number one, and introduce yourself with a brief bio background that they need to understand. We'll talk about some of those things a little later in the broadcast, but especially at this point, the office that you seek, what is it? Why is it important? And why do you seek it?
Yes, that is a very, very important question, Dr. Youngblood, because many people do not understand what a state committee woman or committee man, for that matter, do. Basically, here is the situation. Each county in the state of Florida has three representatives who serve on the executive committee of the Republican Party of Florida. So the committee woman helps to steer the direction of the party. And that is important right now because I do believe more than ever we're going to see a push to take the Republican Party to the left in the near future after this election. And so not to get ahead of my questions, but here's the situation with these three people. Three people from Duval County will represent the 220,000 registered Republicans at the state level, and in that role determine the direction that the state party will go. The county chairman is elected by the members of the local Republican Executive Committee, but the committee woman and the committee man are elected on the regular ballot by every registered Republican in Duval County can vote in this election. So this is an election for the registered Republicans to send a woman to the state party who will stand for our local Republicans and the things that we believe.
Amen. I'm thankful for your giving a brief overview of that for our listeners. And as you alluded to, and may I take the privilege to elaborate on somewhat, is that what I'm seeing, not just for Duval County, but on a national level, we're finding more and more and more of our Republican parties, our Republican representatives, our Republican leaders are bowing to the mandates and the whims and the wishes of the left and taking us further and further to the left rather than staying either in a central position or to the right standpoint of conservatism. I'm an ultra-conservative, as you know. I'm a central biblicist. That is, what does the Bible say, not what a denomination says. I am a one that believes that we need to take the position of truth and learn the truth, listen to the truth, love the truth, and stand for the truth. And it's an impossibility, I believe, if I can interject this thought briefly, it's an impossibility to say I'm a Republican and still be wishy-washy with the position, and I use that term liberally, wishy-washy with the position on issues that we need to take dogmatic stands on. I could take the balance of the time talking about those things that happened not only in our city, but in Tallahassee, that ought not to be coming out of Republicans. So first of all, let me say thank you for taking the stand. Thank you for your willingness to use your time and talents and gifts that God's given you to represent we the people in Duval County. It is needed today, perhaps at more than any other time in the history of our nation. I'm thankful for you and for your stand, conservative stand, politically and spiritually. I'm thankful for that. And I'm thankful for what you're talking about doing and wanting to accomplish. Tell me briefly, or tell our listeners briefly, I should say, some of the two or three things that you think from a position of the elected individual representing the state of Florida, representing Duval County as a Republican state committee woman. What are two or three things that you have as your goal for wanting to do that will basically keep us in the conservative left lane, if you will? Or the conservative
Dr. Youngblood, I would say that the three things you mentioned during your monologue, the home, the government, and the church, those institutions were founded by God in the beginning.
Yes.
And he assigned to the home, to the government, to the church, certain responsibilities.
Yes.
And we, unfortunately, have scrambled those responsibilities to all the wrong places. For instance, it is the home's responsibility to care for children. We have assigned way too much responsibility to the government. People
yes.
bring children into the world without accepting the responsibility and care for the nurture and care of those children. So government has had a necessity to pick up the slack. I support the biblical family and all that that means. And part, how that connects to this position is we want the Republican Party to continue to stand strong on life. We must not take the life of unborn babies as a government policy, as a policy of our party. We must stand strong. That is one of the things President Trump has done that has not
yes.
gotten the attention it deserves. He has been the most pro-life president we've ever had.
Yes,
and
right.
so Christians need to understand that. And the traditional family is a part of that. What is marriage? What is parenthood? Is there a right way and a wrong way to do this? The Bible's real clear. And I would say with the deepest sincerity to those who have a different view, you're entitled to your view, but that doesn't make it the best thing for men, women, and children. And so the family is key to the survival of this republic. And secondly,
Absolutely.
government, we must have government leaders who will stand for truth, not truth in a religious sense, as various groups have their various opinions, but truth in a fundamental sense. What is reality? What is life? Those serious questions that we need governmental leaders at every level to stand for. Personal integrity, for heaven's sake, personal integrity is a thing of the past almost. And certainly the third one, the church, has the role that God has called it to be, salt and light. We are to be salt in a corrupting community and culture, and we are to be light with the gospel of Christ to every person.
Amen.
I don't care who you are. The gospel of Christ is available to every person, and the role of the church is to spread the gospel of Christ to every person and share it, and to be salt, taking stands for truth in a corrupting culture. So I see that is my life. I see that as a part of anything that I do. And so I see that as a part of being a state committee woman on the Republican Party of Florida, to stand for life primarily and to stand for truth and to work to see that our party remains true to its current platform. The Republican platform, if you compare the Republican platform and the Democrat platform that exists today, they are polar opposites.
Absolutely.
And so one is truth expressed on life and sexuality and marriage and those fundamental issues, not to mention truth as expressed in our Declaration of Independence, our Constitution, and its Bill of Rights. So those are the true things that the Republican Party needs to stand for. And many have asked me, why did you decide to run? And I'll tell you the truth. At this point in my life, I'd really probably prefer to be sitting out by the pool drinking lemonade. But I can't do that because I'm concerned for the future. You covered it in your monologue. We are facing an unprecedented position in the country. This country, people don't think it can happen, but this country can be taken down. And if we as Christians don't stand, then for heaven's sake, we get what we deserve. Which brings me to another point.
Yes, go ahead.
The sad thing, as I look at what you talked about voting, 50% of eligible Christians who are eligible to register, at least that many are not registered. Think of that. And of those who, to make it worse, of those who are registered, about 25% or so of those who are registered vote in any given election. They especially, I should say we, especially don't vote in primaries, which is crucial because
yes,
our conservative candidates typically are knocked out in the primary. And so we need Christians, number one, to get registered. You can't register now for the August 18th election, but you can register for the November election. You must register for the November election if you believe the things that we're talking about, because Duval County is crucial to the president winning Florida, and winning Florida is crucial to the president winning the election. So I would say to every listener in your audience, if you are a Christian and are not registered, if you are a conservative with a conservative worldview and you are not registered, I beg you, get registered. It's very easy. You can do it online. You can do it in person at the supervisor's office. Many of us are doing, I can do a voter registration for you. Get registered. Your vote is crucial to the president winning in
November.
Absolutely.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're interviewing Ginger Sowd. Ginger is a candidate for the Republican State Committee Woman's position for the state of Florida, for the representation representing our county, representing Duval County, Jacksonville, Florida. And so I ask you to tune in and continue to think about what we need to do in the future. As Ginger was just saying, ladies and gentlemen, back in I believe it was the 2016 presidential election, 31 million Christians sat on the sideline, didn't even vote. And she's challenging us now that we need to understand there's a need for Christians, and I'm in agreement with that, for Christians to vote. Christians need to vote and understand that we, the people, have the responsibility of the direction of America. We're talking about today securing our foundations, and we do so by voting. Ginger, we've got about 45 seconds before our news break. Take the next few seconds, and we're talking with, ladies and gentlemen, Ginger Sowd. Ginger Sowd is the candidate for the Republican State Committee Woman. Ginger, take about 45 seconds and speak to our people before we take our news break.
Yes, sir. I would like to say first, with regard to this race, all of the ladies in this race are very nice people. I know them all. They have worked in their party and done a lot of good things, voter registration and all of that. They're all good people. So I want to be clear on that. But I do believe that I am uniquely qualified for this position because I want to bring to this position clear, experienced, and conservative leadership. And I can say and document to your audience that I have the experience, I am clear in my beliefs, and I can offer conservative leadership based on many experience in public office and in community service.
Yes, and ladies.